Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. The good news, as the weather warms up just a bit, is the natural gas market seems to think the end of the frigid weather we've been experiencing is upon us. Prices are falling. We will have to wait until Sunday to see if the groundhog concurs with that prediction. Meanwhile, while most of us have spent a little extra time wrapping up for our commutes to the office or wherever, what has the snow and super cold temperatures meant for those of us who work outside? Let's hear from food cart and truck vendors, construction workers, crossing guards, beat cops. Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Anyone whose job requires being outside for a good part of the day or night, how are you managing? Consider this an appreciation of anyone other than, say, pro football players who get paid millions of dollars for it, or the hockey players venturing outside at Yankee Stadium tonight who don't get paid quite as much, but almost. Anyone other than those who have to work outside in the bitter cold. Vendors, construction workers, anyone else, call in and tell us what you do outside. 212-433-WNYC. Tell us, how bad is it in the weather we've been having? Do you ever get frostbite? Is 0 degrees better or worse than 100 degrees? 212-433-9692. How do you stay warm on days like today or yesterday? 212-433-9692 if you have to work outdoors. Have you learned any tips for staying warm that you want to remember for next time or share with the rest of us? 212-433-9692. Have you lost any work as a result? Some people just can't go out and do their jobs in this weather. Or have you gained any work? Snowplow operators of the world, you can chime in too. 212-433-9692 for this appreciation of anyone who works outside during the frigid cold temperature days. 212-433-9692. We'll give voice to you in this segment. And as your calls are coming in, I'm joined by Stephanie Barreto, staff organizer for the Street Vendor Project at the Urban Justice Center, along with vendors Bernard Haynes and Jared Domingos. Welcome, all of you, to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bernard, you want to tell us a little bit about your business? What do you sell, at least weather permitting?
I'm a licensed street vendor. I've been doing this for about maybe 8 years now. And this is like one of the worst winters.
What do you sell and where, first of all?
I sell on 125th Street in Adam Clayton Powell, right next to the state office building in Harlem.
Uh-huh. Around Lenox there. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Block away. And what I sell actually is this time of year. It's just a seasonal thing when you're selling in the street. This type of year, what sells in the summer might not necessarily sell too good. But I sell hats, scarves. I'm selling Obama posters and a small smattering of sterling silver I sell.
Have you been out there today? Are you seeing a post-State of the Union spike in Obama posters?
No, not really. The Obama posters, they don't really sell that well right now.
They stopped selling in 2010?
They sold when he was elected again.
Uh-huh.
You know, of course, his name was in the news a lot, and you know he was real popular, but right now it slowed down a bit.
And now that you're selling scarves and gloves and things like that for this time of year, I guess you want to be out there on the cold days.
Well, somewhat, because, you know, it depends on when you talk about scarves, hats, and so forth. The variety is what attracts the people, you know. The more, the better. Okay, I have a modest amount of hats and scarves. So, you know, of course, I make my share of money, but not as much as the big boys.
Yeah. And what about days when it's so cold? Are there days that you just don't go out because it's too cold and people aren't going to stop, or you just can't stand
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. There's days that vendors don't go out. When it's too cold, it's almost nothing you can do. They suggest most vendors, most seasoned veteran vendors will tell you, don't stand on that sidewalk. Doesn't matter what kind of shoes you have on. They recommend that you stand on some cardboard or a piece of fabric like a doormat.
Insulation, like further insulation between your feet and the concrete.
Mm-hmm. Right. You got to have some insulation between your feet and the concrete because I don't care who you are. You won't be able to take it after a few hours. You know, and I was in Korea. I was in during the winter time when I was in the service, and it was averaging 25 below zero. So I know cold, but this cold that we've been having lately is the worst in 10 years. I've heard. I can believe it.
I believe it too. I saw an interview with one coffee cart vendor who said he spent 15 minutes each morning just putting on layer after layer of socks. I hope some of them are wool. Do you have tricks for keeping warm, particularly things that you wear? Yeah. Or you talked about, you know, insulation between your feet and the concrete. What else?
Well, you have to layer up, of course. But, there's only so much you can do. After a while, even if it gets cold enough, it hurts to even breathe. Okay, you got to still breathe. So, you know, there's no getting around it. It hurts. What I do is I get up and I walk around. You have to walk around. I stretch. You know, you stretch a lot. And if possible, I'll actually step indoors. Some stores, they don't mind if you step in for a few, you know, and you can still actually see your table from inside the store. They'll let you stand in there for a few minutes at a time. Yeah.
That's very nice, especially when stores often consider vendors
a threat
and unfair competition because you're not paying rent.
Some stores don't mind, you know, especially the corporate stores, Dwayne Reed and so forth. You know, they're not losing anything.
Yeah.
They don't mind. If it's a corporate entity, they know they're going to get paid anyway, so they don't worry about us. If it's a private store, mom-and-pop store, they might be a little resentful. But other than that, really not too much problem with that.
Vendor Bernard Haynes, also Stephanie Barreto, staff organizer for the Street Vendor Project at the Urban Justice Center. Stephanie, what else are you hearing from the vendors you work with about the cold this winter?
Well, I mean, Bernard gave an excellent example, right? It's those kind of little coping mechanisms that a lot of vendors have when they're, like, out in the streets for, you know, long periods of time, you know, when you're talking about different types of job where you might be out in the streets for, like, a few hours. You know, I think it's cold for sure, but when you're talking about vendors who are working out in the streets for 8, 10 hours, 12 hours at a time, you know, it's definitely different coping mechanisms, right? Like,
yep.
Bernard was just saying, so, yeah.
I've noticed that fruit cart vendors are not out. Stephanie, is that because they have so little protection or because the fruit actually can't handle these temperatures?
It's a little bit of both, right? Like, but even so, you'll see some fruit vendors, you know, trying to figure, like, creative ways of making their fruit last. You know, people in certain areas in the city, you know, there are people who still, you know, want their banana for breakfast or grab, like, a few grapes for a snack. But, yeah, it's very hard. You know, you're not in a cart. You're out with your table, your fruits, you know, can get frozen very easily, so I think it definitely is a big loss for a lot of the fruit and vegetable vendors during the winter. It's a tough time.
Let's see who else is out there. Alex in Hell's Kitchen, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Brian, how you doing? Yeah, we work out on the barge on the water, and the river is totally frozen over. We can't get boats out to our equipment, and we're shut down.
You work on a barge?
Yes, sir.
Doing what?
We drive piles for the new bridge. We work with dock builders, and there's no access right now.
The new Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear about the proposal to rename it the Pete Seeger Bridge?
I'd support that.
But the workers aren't talking about it yet.
No, not yet. We haven't had a chance to get together, really. We worked 5 days in this new year based on the frozen river.
How do you keep yourself warm when you are out there?
Layers, layers, layers. I wear 4 pairs of pants and sweatshirt on top of sweatshirt, gloves, multiple socks, insulated boots. You got to layer up.
Is there a temperature under which you don't work or just if there's too much ice to get by?
Really, it's the ice and access. When the temperatures get, you know, close to 0 degrees, the equipment starts fouling up on us, then so that becomes a problem.
Alex, good luck out there. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you, sir.
Sean in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sean.
How are you?
Good. What do you do?
I own a dog walking business in Jersey City.
Does own the business mean you walk the dogs?
Oh, I'm out there 10 hours every day.
Wow.
So, you know, the thing about dog walking is no matter what, the dogs have to go pee, so they have to go outside. So we're like the mailmen.
When I had a dog, it was the worst thing about it. No matter what the weather, you had to go out.
Yep. So we're the guys who cover that for the people who go work in New York or wherever they work.
Do the owners leave the dogs sufficiently prepared? Is there anything they're supposed to do with a dog if they know it's going to be like 10 degrees?
Yeah, the dogs, you can find coats for the dogs that help a little bit. We usually walk them half an hour, but we had to take it down to 20 minutes during, you know, the really cold weeks of, 2 weeks ago or so. And, you know, there's other things you can do. One thing I would love to say on the air, the rock salt is terrible for the dogs. It's so bad for them. Their paws actually start to crack when they step on the rock salt. So look for the puppy-friendly rock salts.
That is a really good tip. Any other tips for humans or canines?
Just make sure that they have a good coat, a good, wool or some type of thick cotton, you know. And as far as the humans, the guy last said it best, layer up. You just got to onion up, you know.
Sean, thanks a lot. Good luck out there. Mike in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. What do you do?
HVAC technician. I repair heaters now.
I guess so.
And, yeah, yeah.
And air conditioners when it's 102.
Right. Right. And I'm doing them on the roof of schools and hospitals, and you got to keep the pipes from freezing, so you have no choice but to go out there and take care of it.
So you're up on the roofs a fair amount?
No, right now I'm lucky. I'm in my van going to my next stop, to my next roof. But, yeah, 6 o'clock this morning I was on a roof in Queens.
Oh, I didn't mean right now, but do you spend a lot of time during the day up on roofs?
Sometimes 8 hours, yep. Anywhere from 4 to 8 hours on a roof.
Wow. So how do you deal with it? And up there, you're a little less protected from the wind even, right?
Absolutely. So you wear the face masks, you layer up like crazy, and it's incentive to get the heat fixed so that you can feel some warm air coming out of it.
Is at least are you at least making more money than you would at other times of year or winters where we don't have this cold snap because more people need your services?
Only because of overtime. Only because of the overtime. You know, you don't make more for getting up there. I'm not the owner, but I take care of what I got to take care of.
Mike, good luck out there. Thanks for checking in.
All right, thank you.
And back to Stephanie Barreto, staff organizer for the Street Vendor Project at the Urban Justice Center. As part of our appreciation of any of you who have to work on these cold, frigid days, 212-433-WNYC. Stephanie, I wonder if anyone's business improves in this weather among the vendors. Maybe more tourists are out there at this time of year because it's or I shouldn't say more tourists. I guess this wouldn't be a more tourist time of year, except because of the Super Bowl. But everybody right. who is out, maybe they want the hot pretzel, or maybe the coffee vendors do better than they do. I don't know.
Right.
Any way to gauge it?
So, I mean, I think, you know, the holidays are the big spike in, like, the winter. You know, most vendors will tell you that they will work, you know, if they have to, 12 hours a day during those time periods. But after that, it really is like a slow downhill, you know, issue. I don't think that anyone would say that during these next weeks there's a spike in sale compared to, you know, the whole year. I doubt it. You know, I think it's, you know, I think some vendors can get by, and you know, for vendors it's a full-time job. You know, this is their living. They have to pay their bills. You know, their bills don't stop because the winter's here. So, you know, they'll get by and they'll, you know, push through the winter. But I you know, I don't think it's ever a spike in sales where they're like, you know, rolling in it right now.
Andrew in Brooklyn appreciates the vendors and I think works outside himself, right, Andrew?
Yes, I do. I'm a tour guide for Turnstile Tours, and we do tours of street vending and street food and often work with the Street Vendor Project, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you work with this group, and your own job is doing walking tours, but they're walking tours that are vendor-oriented?
That's right. So we go around different neighborhoods and, you know, get to meet the vendors, taste the food, and learn about the industry and the regulations and all the things that people face and in their daily lives. And one of the things that I actually appreciate, you know, I'm out in the cold and our other guides are out for, you know, 3 or 4 hours leading a tour, but the vendors are out there for, you know, 12 hours or more. So it teaches people a little bit of solidarity with the vendors. You know, when the weather's bad, they're still out there. So, you know, we see that as a sort of teachable moment to get people to sort of understand better what the life is like on the street.
So are there some must-taste carts or trucks that your patrons, you know, seem to respond to when you take them there?
Well, you know, we work with about 3 dozen different vendors around the city, and we love them all. But we work in Midtown along 6th Avenue, and we also work in the Financial District. And we love to highlight to people the great diversity of food. You know, we have so many sort of new food trucks that have appeared, but we also have so many long established, you know, hardworking and immigrant-owned vendors around the city that maybe don't get as much sort of press. So we like to highlight all the full spectrum of the industry.
Andrew, thank you. Good luck out there. Siobhan and Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Work outside?
Say that again?
Do you work outside?
No. Actually, I'm an AmeriCorps program director, and last night we did a point-in-time homeless count. Well, we started the homeless count.
That was for Patterson?
Yes, for Patterson, New Jersey.
And how did you do it? Did you go to certain spots where you think the homeless people sleep outside?
Yeah, so what we did was we started about midnight. I'm actually just ending my shift.
Wow.
But we started about midnight, and we were just riding around, getting out the vehicle, walking near train stations on the bridges, and just trying to find out where the homeless people were and get them off the streets and also survey them.
It was like in the teens last night. Were people okay when you found them?
Yeah, they were okay. A lot of people needed gloves, and we had hats, scarves, and gloves and blankets to give to them. But we found at least 30 people outside. We were able to get a few inside, and others didn't want to move because they had all of their belongings with them. So we just provided them with the care packages.
How aggressive do you get, or does the city get in general? I realize your job was to count last night, but with trying to move homeless people indoors on nights like this, as opposed to just give them stuff to make them comfortable?
I would say the city does a good job because there's a number of shelters in Patterson. They do a good job of trying to get everyone inside, but because there's also an abandoned property issue in Patterson, many of the homeless population end up barring themselves into the abandoned properties.
Siobhan, good luck out there. Thank you for extending your long, long day before you go to sleep by checking in. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
And Laura in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. What do you do?
I'm a bike messenger in Manhattan and Brooklyn, and I work about 5 days a week, 12 hours a day. And as I was telling your screener, I used to layer up like your previous callers had said, but unfortunately, it's just difficult to move out there. So now I just do merino wool, one layer, and then my outside layer. And you just keep moving. It's the only way. I think working out in this weather, it's all mental, all mental.
I think the coldest that I ever was in my life was on my bicycle during the subway workers' strike about 10 years ago when I rode down on the first day of the strike from where I live, uptown and inward, down to the station here, you know, at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And it was 20 degrees, and the wind was blowing. And, of course, the bike path goes down right along the Hudson River. I think that was the coldest I ever was when I had to spend what turned into 2 hours on my bike in the freezing cold because it was so hard to move. You actually get cold, and you pedal more slowly. Do you find that?
Sure, especially with the wind blowing at you. You have to fight through it. You know, that headwind definitely prevents you from moving at the speed that you do. But, you know, it's the job. And I actually just want to say to all the bikers who don't work and just recreationally are commuting to work in this weather, I really support it. I think that's great.
What stops a bike messenger from going? Is it ever cold or a certain amount of snow? Or what actually knocks you out?
Snow. If the snow, and I mean, the past two snowstorms, after about like 3 hours, you just couldn't ride anymore because it's like two, three inches. Just you start sliding all over, especially the construction, those where there's construction that cover the manholes. Those are really slippery, and if you catch it at the wrong break, you just slide out.
Laura, good luck out there.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Piru in Queens. Did I say your name right? Is it Piru?
Yeah, Piru. I'm the Dosa man. I've been in your show before too, Brian. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. Nice to hear you.
I'm from NYU, the Washington Square Park vegetarian vegan food cart.
Uh-huh. So yeah. Yeah. And are you there now?
No, today I didn't go. Yesterday I was in there. It's really, really cold. And I don't have a covered cart. I have the open cart. So, you know, I had to put a couple of cardboards underneath me, and I wear a whole shucks, you know, like the wool one, and then cotton one. It's very good tip, you know, for the people who do work outside.
You were on one year when we covered the Vendee Awards. Were you a Vendee Award winner?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how many days do you think you've lost to weather this year?
Oh, this year, January, pretty much, I only work like 8 days.
Only work like 8 days? You mean you've taken a lot of days off since the winter started?
Yeah.
And do people buy? Do you sell? You sell hot food?
Yeah, hot vegetarian food, and then I sell hot soup.
So maybe people like that when you can stand it, huh?
Yeah, it's the windy days and rainy days are pretty bad, you know. It's not a covered card; it's an open card. Yeah, so I have to put two plastic in both sides to cut down the wind.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Piru, thank you very much. Good luck out there when you go back out. And, yeah, Stephanie from the Urban Justice Center, the Street Vendors Project, there are all kinds of street vendors. Some have the relative luxury of being in a truck. Some have the slightly less luxurious covered cart. And then there's people like Piru who don't even have a covered cart. And he was just describing what that means.
Exactly. No, I think it's true. You know, I think there's a ton of different vendors who work in various different conditions. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but sometimes, you know, as hard as it is to work outside in the weather, you know, the city doesn't make it any easier for them either. You know, a lot of our vendors have come in saying they got, like, tickets, for example, for having their license underneath one of their several, you know, jackets that they're wearing because they're layering up so much. And so they get tickets, like, for things like that. So it's hard out there for sure, you know, but, you know, I think that the general theme, right, of street vendors and many of the other people who have called in, you know, is that they're there for us, right? They're reliable fixtures in New York City, and they're there selling us our, like, hats, our gloves when we need them, our hot coffee. So, you know, just to be thankful of that and appreciative, you know, the next time you see someone working outside, just to thank them, give them a little extra tip if you can, you know, but more importantly, just be appreciative of, like, you know, the work that they're doing and that they're there giving us and serving us, you know, the hot, warm beverages that we need.
Making your case for the vendors. And we're going to give David in Rockland the last word because it looks like David feels a little better about his life after hearing this segment. David, is that true?
That's very true. I feel weather-wise very privileged from all the previous callers. But, yeah, I'm a school bus driver in Rockland County. Although the snow days that we had are fun and, you know, they're paid and everything, but the day-to-day picking up the children, you know, you have children that are waiting. They can't pick them up right from the house. It's a block or two away, and I know they're waiting there for a little while, especially with the traffic, and they come up. I have little kids starting from pre-1A on my bus. They're shivering. This winter is very, very difficult, I know, for them.
And, of course, you have to keep opening and closing that door, so you keep getting that blast of cold yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just in the morning it takes at least 15 minutes just to start the bus. I have to start it 15 minutes earlier. And with the heat blowing, it takes at least half an hour for the bus to even start to heat up.
Yeah, it's a big space.
And especially I start the route 6:45 in the morning. It's still dark. It's very difficult.
But you feel lucky compared to the other people who are working outside, building the Tappan Zee Bridge, and standing out with their food carts and everything like that.
That's for sure.
David, thank you for checking in. And there we leave it. And we thank Stephanie Barreto, staff organizer for the Street Vendor Project at the Urban Justice Center. Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And that's our appreciation of those of you who work outside in the cold, because you have to on these frigid days. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we're going to speak to the senior pastor of the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, where the weather is much worse than it is here right now. We'll hear a little bit from him, an on-the-ground report about the weather emergency they're having in the southeast today. And we'll talk about his book about the black church. He's in the position that Martin Luther King once held. How's that for a burden to bear, an act to follow? We'll talk to him next. Stay with us.